What's going on, everybody? It's your buddy, it's your pal, Spaz Phoenix, the YWC Rally Check, and this is WWE Last Week, your weekly look back at the week that was in the WWE. Now, this week's episode is going to be a little abridged. I've had a busy week, I've had some personal stuff going on, and as you can probably tell by the sound of my voice, I don't feel the greatest. So, this is not going to be a full breakdown of each show. This is not going to be a full breakdown of the press conference that took place on Thursday, which I was planning to do at one point, and then, you know, the world caught on fire. So, because we're in a building block stage right now, we're building towards Elimination Chamber, we're building towards WrestleMania, and on a much smaller scale, we're also building towards Stand and Deliver. I'm just going to give you the key points, the key, like, stepstones that we've set out this week from Raw, from SmackDown. There's a couple other things I'm going to talk about along the way, and then we'll look at sort of what Chamber and Mania look like so far. Now, I will say, I do have one thing to talk about here that is a small spoiler. I'm intentionally leaving that until the end, so if you don't want any spoilers, you can probably drop off like 2 minutes before the end of the pod, and you won't be spoiled, because technically I don't even know if the spoiler is true, but I want to talk about it, because it's pretty decent. So, what are we doing right now? We got Gunther, Intercontinental Champion, over 600 days. We had the big celebration on Monday Night Raw, and it's like, well, somebody's going to walk up, and somebody's going to be the next contender, and somebody. Speculation abounds. Now, from my point of view, there's only two people in the company right now that are not already aimed elsewhere that could be the ones believably to dethrone Gunther. And it's almost for opposite reasons. One of them is Bron Breakker, who's just come up to the main roster. He's being courted by both general managers. I love that they're doing that with the call-ups now, by the way, where somebody just doesn't randomly show up somewhere, like Aldis or Pierce actually score, like, a talent for their team, which is cool. We saw that with Randy Orton, with CM Punk, with Tiffany Stratton, with Andrade, with Naomi, although Naomi was a return, but whatever. So they're both courting Bron Breakker, which we're going to talk about more than once in this pod, I think. The other one is Jey Uso, who already swore, like, he's not set his sights on Seth Rollins, which I think would be an amazing match sometime in the future. But he did say that sometime this year he's going to win his first singles gold. And he was the one that interrupted Gunther and Imperium during the celebration and whatnot. And Gunther sort of gave him, like, the run of backhanded compliments. Yeah, you were part of the one of the most impactful factions in WWE. You were a great tag team wrestler. But hey, that meant you only had to do 50% of the work. And there was a brawl between the two of them. Jey Uso versus Gunther is going to be a heck of a match. Now, one of two things is going to happen. Either we're going to get Jey Uso versus Gunther at WrestleMania and they're going to stretch this out. Or, if they are still doing Jey versus Jimmy at WrestleMania, which a lot of people are actually turning their back on now, which I don't understand, Jey Uso is moving forward. Jimmy Uso comes off as such a comical character now because he's so whipped by Roman Reigns and the whole bloodline psychological game, especially with what we have to talk about now. He's gone way down the pecking order. I think that he's just trying to cope. And the way they're putting out him just trying to cope, he kind of ends up looking like a goofball, which is awesome and terrible at the same time. I still want that match to happen. So, if we're going to do Jimmy versus Jey at WrestleMania, then what you do is you have Jey versus Gunther and Jimmy just invades Raw one night, because it won't happen at Elimination Chamber because Gunther can't travel right now because of the visa stuff, which is beyond his control, which is absolutely fine, but you can have a big main event feeling match on a random episode of Monday Night Raw. Maybe the same week that AEW's going to Boston because somebody's showing up over there. If you want to get a little bit competitive with the competition, then you make a big episode of Monday Night Raw out of it, and Jimmy costs Jey the Intercontinental Championship, you know, to keep him in his place, keep him as a one half of a tag team, not a singles successful star, and then you move on from there. And if you do that, if you do that, then you build up that as the last big hurdle for Gunther before WrestleMania, and then you write some kind of story where the way that Pierce was finally able to convince Bron Breakker to come to Raw was that he would debut at WrestleMania in an Intercontinental Championship match against Gunther, and you have Bron Breakker versus Gunther at WrestleMania. Now, to build all this up, and it is kind of nice because there is history. We are getting a six-man next week. Jey Uso and the New Day, the uninjured members of the New Day. Really cool to see Big E, before I forget to mention that, really cool to see Big E on the panel with CM Punk and Pat McAfee and Michael Cole during the press conference there. So good to see Big E out and about. He's going out of his way to make sure he doesn't give anybody false hope that he's coming back, but he's still happy to be there, and he's still getting out there and appreciating the fans anytime he can. So, good shout out to Big E. Whether he comes back, whether he doesn't come back, hope things are going good for him. But the two healthy members of New Day, Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods, are joining Jey Uso for a six-man against Imperium next week on Raw. Now, does this help the image of Jey Uso as just being a tag team guy? Because he's, like, since he's come to Monday Night Raw, he's buddied up with Sami Zayn, he was a tag team champion with Cody Rhodes, and now he's hanging out with the New Day for this six-man. Now, that's awesome, it's cool, like, you want to have characters that have friendships and dynamics and all that kind of thing, but I don't think it's doing him any favors as, hey, Jey Uso's finally a singles guy, putting that vibe out there. I do, however, think it's fantastic that they've paired him up with the New Day because of the rich, rich tag team history that the Usos had with the New Day. It only makes sense that they would have built up that respect over the years. The New Day have their issues with Vinci and Kaiser, and Kofi had that match with Gunther not too long ago, so they're not without their connections there. It'll be a great six-man, but I think it's just a backdrop to build towards Jey versus Gunther, which is absolutely fine. Rhea Ripley, you know, one of the biggest stars in WWE, probably headlining Australia. It was confirmed on Monday Night Raw. She's going to be defending her title against Nia Jax. I don't want to come off like an asshole here. Nia Jax is still making a character for herself, making a living for herself in WWE off the fact that she fucked up and broke Becky's face 5 years ago. It doesn't send a good message. I'm not gonna lie. I don't really like her. I don't think she's that fun in the ring. It's the same thing as people say about Nyla Rose. Now, don't go attack Nyla Rose being all transphobic and shit like that. That's fucked up. Don't do it. I'm not advocating that. But it's like, it's a very different but similar thing with Nia Jax. It's like, oh, you might not like her on TV, but go follow her on Twitter. She's really banter on Twitter. And I'm like, I don't care. Like, I do, like, it's fine. Like, I can go follow her on Twitter and find out that she's funny or whatever, but that means I don't need to see her in the ring. Like, my hat goes off and my respect goes out to John Cena for all the Make-A-Wish, there we go, that's the word I'm looking for, that he does. Doesn't necessarily mean I ever found him to be the greatest guy in the ring. Go, if anything, go do more of the funny shit. In John Cena's case, go do more of the charity shit. Let me pat you on the back that way. I really do think, and it's been to the detriment of other people, because the other women's title match, I think, is in a bit of a shadow because of this. But I really do think, and I've said it ever since the Mae Young Classic. I looked at Rhea Ripley, said, Rhea Ripley, fucking star. That was the thing, like, forever. Rhea Ripley, full stop, fucking star, full stop. Said it in the Mae Young Classic, said it in the second Mae Young Classic, said it on NXT UK, said it on NXT. Got mad when she came up to the main roster and they made her kind of a goof for a while. They threw her in a couple of different makeshift tag teams, and now she's kind of found herself, right? Rhea Ripley is a fucking star. Rhea Ripley is a fucking star in Australia, where they haven't been since Super Showdown. And at Super Showdown, with people that weren't featured that well, like the Iconics and Buddy Murphy, they showed us back then what respect they were going to have for their hometown people. And Rhea Ripley, who is being presented properly and is being presented as the most popular character in currently the best faction in WWE, because Bloodline's been falling apart for like a year, she's going to get a monster pop in Australia, and Australia will love anything she does. And they've chosen they have chosen to give that spot to Nia Jax, and I don't get it. And, like, she's got this absolutely impenetrable aura, and they've given that to Nia Jax because Nia Jax knocks her down and sits on her. The math ain't mathin'. But Rhea Ripley came out, she demanded a match against Nia Jax, and Pierce said, "Nah, you're getting that match at the Chamber. Are you happy they had a brawl?" Etc, etc, etc. Now, this was on the back of Rhea Ripley coming out to say that she didn't really care about the Elimination Chamber match because they announced an Elimination Chamber match for who's going to face her at WrestleMania. Now, that comes out of Bayley picking Io Sky for the WWE Women's Championship and the breakup of Damage Control, which we're going to talk about in a second. It makes even less sense that people just went through the Rumble for a chance at a title. Now you've got six more women, we're going to talk about that later, that are going to destroy themselves in the Elimination Chamber, the sinister structure, as Michael Cole will probably tell us 100 times, to get their shot at a champion. And Nia Jax just saunters in and says, "I got first." It doesn't work. I mean, she's going to win. Like, this is the problem. She's going to win, and it's going to be a squash. And that's fine. And that's what Rhea Ripley needs. She's, "Oh, look at this big boulder that I've got to topple before I get to the WrestleMania peak." I get it. I understand the bare bones storytelling of it. I'm not denying that. But you could have used somebody better than Nia Jax. I'm sorry. I know Raquel Rodriguez is injured, but that could have been fun. You could have, and I've done entire podcasts on this, you could have revisited the women's feud that led Black and Gold NXT to their one and only victory in the Wednesday Night War. You could have done another round of Rhea Ripley versus Shayna Baszler. You could have. You could have done something good. You could have pushed Piper Niven better than you have been. I like the Chelsea Green Piper Niven pairing as a comedy duo, as sort of like the Coward and the Muscle. They work. Don't get me wrong. Chelsea Green, incredibly underutilized, incredibly underrespected in my opinion. But you could have done something with Piper Niven if you just wanted to do the unstoppable force and the immovable object and all that kind of thing. You could have given anybody that, but you gave it to Nia Jax. And the rumor is, because they're in Australia, rightfully so, and because there's no world title match, there's no WWE title match that I know of anyway, the rumor is they're going to have Rhea Ripley main event, which is A, deserved, because she should have main evented night one of WrestleMania last year because she won the fucking Rumble. No disrespect to the Usos and Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. Fantastic match, fantastic moment. But you want to show some parody and you want to show some respect to the consequences of the Rumble, Rhea Ripley and Charlotte should have main evented. They just, it is what it is. I'm sorry, but it is what it is. And now you're going to give a international stadium show main event to Nia Jax. No. Anyways, we move on to the tag team title situation, and we know that Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne won a Fatal 4-Way on SmackDown. DIY won their Fatal 4-Way match on Raw versus Imperium, New Day, and the Creeds. Now, works for most people. It gave DIY a direction. Imperium and New Day are collectively moving off in their direction. I don't know where this leaves the Creeds. I really don't. But DIY went on to SmackDown to face Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate, and we'll talk about that momentarily. And the last thing I should say, coming out of Raw was Becky Lynch obviously defeated Shayna Baszler to qualify for the Chamber, and we announced that we're going to get Zoe Stark versus Liv Morgan next week. Liv Morgan just came back, so I'm pretty sure I know what my prediction is there. Becky versus Baszler, these two should have had separate qualifying matches because they both should be in the Rumble. Now, pretty sure that we're getting Becky versus Rhea at WrestleMania. Now, that's looking forward a couple of months, but it is what it is. They've had their stare downs in the past. They had their stare down at the press conference. They're really hyping up the fact that with all Becky's done in her career and the big resume that she has, she's never been in an Elimination Chamber match. So you can't really posit Becky Lynch as an underdog, but you can posit her in a situational underdog position facing five other people in a structure she's never been in before. So that's good enough. The one thing that I, and this is just a personal thing, it seems to me that there was a tease, because there is a elevated weekly episode of NXT. I think it's Roadblock. I could be wrong. I don't have it in my notes. It's fine. They have one elevated episode of TV before they get to Stand and Deliver. Stand and Deliver, the only thing we know for sure right now is that we are getting Carmelo Hayes versus Trick Williams, and that's going to be fucking awesome. Oh, yes. Rumor has it we're building to Dijak and Ilya again, but I don't know, because there's also a tease of Dijak and Lexus King being some kind of weird tag team. I don't know, I don't want to touch it. The one thing I do want to say, when they were hyping up the match that took place at Vengeance Day between Lyra and all the other nonsense that went on with that, they were showing a bunch of Twitter reactions, and the one they put dead center was one from Shotzi with the eye emojis, and said, hey, I wonder if she needs another challenger, that type of thing. So it'll just be a one-off. It'll be a one-night thing for the TV, for the elevated episode of TV, and she's not going to lose. But Lyra Valkyria versus Shotzi doesn't hurt my feelings exactly. And similarly, on social media around the same time, we saw a hype package for a new tag team in WWE consisting of two guys that we haven't seen forever. It's Ashanti the Adonis, the last standing member of Hit Row, and Cedric Alexander. And I feel bad, because I don't not know that Cedric Alexander exists, but it was one of those, if you had said to me Cedric Alexander, my first response would have been, is he still in the company? But Ashanti the Adonis was seen a couple weeks ago going to the general manager's office and saying, hey man, I'm still here, I want to do some stuff, and Aldis said, hey, let's go have a conversation. So if this is what we're getting out of that, and it seems like they've got a little bit of banter between the two of them, you know, Ashanti is going to give Cedric some style, is always a key thing when you get a tag team together. It's like, oh, you need to be a little bit more cool, you need to be a little bit more relaxed, you need to be a little bit more serious, whatever the difference of opinion is, there's always something that they land on. And apparently, if you see this video clip that's going around Twitter, Ashanti is going to give Cedric some style. Athletically, this could be a fantastic fucking tag team. Now, I don't know whether they're going to be put together for the purpose of being a jobber tag team, which would be incredibly unfortunate, but it is what it is. Now, I'm not going to go too long on the press conference, because there's nothing I could say about the press conference at this point that hasn't already been said by people much better than me and much more eloquent than me. We teased the Rhea Becky stuff. I mean, Becky's in a chamber with five other people, supposedly, for a chance to face Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania, and she's the only one that came out on stage to stare her down. So, gee, I wonder who's going to win the Elimination Chamber match. Bianca Belair was there for reasons. I don't know. As I say, we had the opening panel, which had CM Punk on it with his big mechanical arm thing. Big E was there, as I said, like, thanking the fans for all their well wishes and whatever. Pat McAfee, who had just interviewed The Rock, and The Rock had coined the Cody Crybabies thing, which is awesome. And Michael Cole just holding the whole thing together. They brought up the coal mine to troll Michael Cole, and I thought that was fantastic. But then, let's get down to the brass tacks. Seth Rollins comes out, and he says, it's time for us to make a main event, and he's interrupted by Roman Reigns, and they take shots at each other, and The Rock comes out Roman says, it's not Cody's choice anymore, it's my choice, I'm going to choose who I'm defending my title against, and it's going to be against The Rock, and The Rock comes out, and they do the whole fucking family tree thing, and I get it. I do. I really do. People like who they like, and they want to see in WWE who they want to see in WWE, and they want to put some heat behind, like, who they like and whatever. And Jacob Fatu, who's apparently from MLW, not familiar, I'm not going to pretend that I am, was up on there, and there's rumors that he's done in MLW and he might come over. Okay, cool. You're searching for that, and you're searching for Naomi. They better put Naomi up there. And it's like, yes, we get it. She married into the right family to keep herself relevant. It's fine. She got herself a job again. So, it is what it is. Like, but the whole family tree thing was cool. They talked about why and how this is the longest from a family point of view, it's the longest built, biggest match that WWE can do. And let's be real for a second before we move on. And I said this on Twitter, and I'm going to say it again here. You can want Cody versus Roman. Cody's your guy. You want your guy to have the spot. I respect that. I understand that. And will it probably be a better match? Sure. I have no problem talking about the fact that Cody Rhodes is a great wrestler. He's got some great mind games up his sleeve. He's got great psychology. He's been other places. He's been to ROH. I think he's been to New Japan. Somebody correct me down in the box. He was there for the inception of AEW, and he brings a lot to the table. He brings a lot of confidence and character to the table. And in ring, I can't say anything about the guy. I have my issues with him elsewise, but never going to say he's not a fantastic wrestler. He's going to pull more from Roman than any other competitor can, because we can actually believe that he's going to beat Roman, because he's the only one WWE has presented as somebody that can beat Roman. Now, there's problems with that as well. But I won't take anything away from Cody as a wrestler. A match between Roman and Cody will be awesome. Probably better in ring than Rock versus Roman. But you cannot deny, unless you are just lying to me, yourself, and everybody, that Roman Reigns versus The Rock is a bigger match. It just is. I'm not out here to tell you what to want. I'm not out here to tell you what'll be better. I'm not out here to tell you, like, we should have this instead of this. But I'm sorry. On the grand scope, Rock versus Roman is a bigger match. Well, he could have done it without the title. No, it's big because it's got everything in it. Anyways, so Rock versus Roman, they're out there. They do the big high-five thing that Rock and Cody did a couple weeks ago, which is apparently a tribute to the guy whose name I can't remember now from Predator, who passed away recently, which, if that's the case, that's really cool, really respectful, sort of a quiet nod and all that type of thing. And then it's interrupted by Cody. No music, no nothing, just comes out here and says, this is all bullshit. I've made my decision and I'm facing you, Roman. Talks about Roman's ancestors, talks about Rock's ancestors. Rock, bitch, slaps Cody in the face. It makes me really, really, really happy. And then they have a brawl. Seth steps in to defend Cody, even though Seth's the one that's injured right now, and Seth just wants to be in the mix, because goddamn are they burying him. Here's the thing, on a side note. Yes, I understand the idea of why would Cody go after Seth, that's the number two title. If you keep saying, why would anybody want to go for that title, then you're going to perpetuate the idea that why would anybody go for that title. It's only a title that nobody looks at because nobody's decided to look at it. I'll go back to what I said a couple weeks ago. You can get a title match, they can put a belt on you, the company sees something in you, they want you to be the flag bearer, etc. That's awesome. That means they see something in you that they want to put you on the hood ornament and say, this is our guy right now. It's a different story when the company chooses you to be the guy that says, okay, this is a brand new title. We're putting it on your shoulders to make it worth something. That's a bigger deal. That's why I think Lost in the Shuffle is the position that they've put Seth Rollins in. And we had CM Punk in the mix before he got injured. CM Punk, Seth Rollins, Cody Rhodes are three guys that you could use to make that title worth something. To make that title not a title that people say, why would I want to go for that title? They could say, in 5 years, I want to carry the same belt that legends like Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins and CM Punk held. Like, you can do that, but you have to do it, is my only point on that. So Seth was in the background with his belt saying, somebody please pay attention to me, pretty much, which kind of sucked. And then Rock told off Triple H, and Seth screamed at The Rock, I don't care if you're on the board, because he's on the TKO board now, I don't care if you're on the board, you don't get to do this, and rah rah rah, and The Rock goes into Triple H's face and says, "You need to fucking fix this. Let him talk shit about our family again. I'll knock his fucking teeth out his throat." All the effing and jeffing on the press conference that made it seem like a little less of a WWE production was cool as well. And what you have is Roman and Rock leaving shoulder to shoulder, and people are saying that this is the new Brothers of Destruction. It's not, because Brothers of Destruction was a goth gimmick, but it is the new two-man power trip. And so coming out of the press conference, the rumors immediately circulating were that we were going to get Cody versus Roman on night two, and we were going to get Cody and Seth versus Rock and Roman on night one as your two main events. Now, here's the thing. I would love to see that tag team match. I really would. Cody and Seth, rivals that grew a respect for each other and could have had a great title match at WrestleMania, taking on The Rock and Roman, who would presumably be a better team because they're family and they've known each other, blah, 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 blah. But here's the thing. We always have the debate, and we always had the debate even before there was a Women's Royal Rumble. Like, the Rumble winner should always main event WrestleMania. The Rumble winner should always main event WrestleMania. Now, when we had two Rumbles, that was impossible because there was only one main event and there was only one night and all that kind of thing. Now that there's two, it should be cut and dry. If you're not going to do the two Rumble winners and you're going to leave the ladies off, A, that's kind of shitty, but B, then your next default should be that the two main events should be the two world titles. And if that's not happening either, then what I will say is, because the rumor is that whoever faces Seth Rollins is also going to face Seth Rollins on night two. So both of the world title matches would happen on the second night, and this tag team match would main event the first night. Now, if that's the case, if Cody Roman is main eventing night two, and this tag team match, Roman and The Rock versus Cody and Seth, is main eventing night one, then I'm sorry, Rhea, Becky, Io, Bayley, Seth Rollins, and whoever's facing Seth Rollins for his title all deserve to be wickedly pissed. They do. Because, I'm sorry, but Cody Rhodes, deservedly or not, has been handed a lot. He has. He got to debut at WrestleMania as the surprise against Seth Rollins. He then went on to beat Seth Rollins 3 straight. He then went on to win the Rumble, main event WrestleMania, get handed a back-to-back Rumble, and main event WrestleMania again. Now, if we cap that off with, oh, by the way, he gets to main event both nights of WrestleMania, I'm sorry, at that point, fuck off. I don't care how much you like Cody, you can't defend that. But the press conference gave us a lot to chew on, and it was immediately advertised after that, because it was on Thursday, SmackDown happens on Friday. Triple H is going to come and confirm all the confusion from the press conference. He came out, took a bunch of shots at The Rock, reestablished himself as the guy that is actually in charge, confirmed that Cody Roman is the main event of WrestleMania, and he was out there with Adam Pearce and with Nick Aldis, there we go, to confirm that Seth Rollins will also have a championship defense at WrestleMania, and that'll be decided in an Elimination Chamber match in Australia. So, the first qualifying match for that Elimination Chamber is Drew McIntyre beating AJ Styles, and AJ Styles took an L from Drew, because of course Drew's going to be in the chamber. Drew is built to be a guy in the chamber. LA Knight, I guess, has a feud with AJ Styles now, because LA Knight was on commentary. It was a little messy towards the end, the way they all got in each other's faces, and Drew looked like he fucked up his leg, but still won the match, which makes me think that it might have been, like, a legitimate tweaking of the knee, which we hope that's not the case. There's enough people injured already. The amount of people that aren't available right now for WrestleMania season, obviously Big E's out, obviously Punk is out, obviously Charlotte's out, obviously Seth Rollins is working hurt, obviously Brock Lesnar just got Me Too'd to fuck. Like, how many other people are you going to take off of the WrestleMania table? So please don't injure Drew, especially right now, where he as a heel, as this sort of conspiracy theory, you know, everybody's out to get me type guy, is getting a lot of crowd support. And there's the stories of him not signing or signing with WWE once again. But I don't believe that he's going anywhere, because they've already planted the seeds for a feud with CM Punk when CM Punk gets back. Bottom line, I don't want to see the guy injured. Bottom line, they need to find something They need to find something for AJ Styles to do at WrestleMania. Jesus Christ, what has he been doing recently? There's also this weird, like, he hasn't really turned heel. He's just kind of turned into a grumpy emo shithead and separated himself from the rest of the OC. And the rest of the OC are sitting there like, what the fuck? So, Drew McIntyre has qualified for the Elimination Chamber. Speaking of the OC, and speaking of the OC not having anything to do with AJ Styles, and kind of sitting there, shrug emoji, saying what the fuck, we had another qualifying match for the Elimination Chamber. Bianca Belair squashed Mia Yim, because of course she did. Because it's February. Moving swiftly on. We had a promo from the Bobby Lashley Street Profits group there. First time we've seen all four of them on screen, the Street Profits and Bobby Lashley and B-Fab. They didn't really say very much other than, grrr, Final Testament. I want to see where this is going, but it wasn't a week where anything really happened. In the back, we saw Bron Breakker once again taking advantage of the fact that Triple H was there, seeking him out. Triple H obviously giving him a pat on the back for everything he's done in NXT, and he says, hey, I've got these choices to make. Should I go to Raw? Should I go to SmackDown? Should I listen to all this? Should I listen to Pierce? It's interrupted by the entrance of Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman and Triple H have a stare down. Paul Heyman makes a point of shaking Bron Breakker's hand, and, you know, does that tie into something? We don't know. And Triple H and Paul Heyman sort of have a stare down. He says, hey, don't even worry about it. There's no problem. There's nothing to stress about. Roman's not even here. But Roman will be here next week. He steps off, steps back on camera, says, and by the way, so will The Rock. Now, people are coming for Paul Heyman on Twitter because he posted a picture of, oh, I'm going to get this wrong, the Kobe Bryant statue? Where the statue has one hand up in the air, he's like, oh, even somebody great like Kobe Bryant acknowledges the tribal chief, and people who take themselves far too seriously are trying to make a meal out of that on Twitter. So go follow Paul Heyman's mentions and see how those weirdos are going, because weirdos on Twitter aren't already making an ass of themselves this week. I'm sorry, the weirdos on Twitter, I don't care whose side you're on, the Rock side, the Cody side, we can have some fun with the debate, and I've been having fun with the debate. But you go on and you threaten The Rock's daughter to the point where she leaves social media. You go on and you threaten that you're going to have CPS called on Triple H and Stephanie McMahon so that they lose their children. You go on and you hope that Triple H has another heart attack. You're shitty people. Go out and touch grass. Like, I know I'm an asshole, but, like, if I'm calling you an asshole, you've done something. Like, it's really that simple. I have never, and people have called this out to me on Twitter a lot, I have never posited myself to be any great type of moral person that anybody should follow for any moral reason. But I also know that if I'm calling you an asshole, you done something. That's it. Don't fuck with people's kids. Don't fuck with people's families. Don't wish death on people. That's weird. We could just not do it. And I'm sorry, outside of our sphere, there is still, you know, I don't want to do an inside-out thing, but the rest of the world still looks at wrestling and wrestling fans a certain way. And when you do shit like that, you really are giving them something to chew on. That's, excuse me, that's all I have to say. The further dissolving of Damage Control, Bayley comes out, she, you know, acknowledges the positive reaction she's been getting from the fans. Hey, you guys have been with me from the beginning. I just wanted Damage Control to be successful, roddy roddy rah, but I'm not an idiot. She's interrupted by Dakota Kai. Hey, where were you last week? I've been trying to call you. I've been trying to this and that. You know, are you ghosting me? And then whose side are you on? Why didn't you tell me what they were saying about me? And Dakota Kai basically goes on to tell the tale that she was kind of stuck between them and Bayley, and she didn't say anything because what Bayley had planned out for the group was happening. Like, they have the tag titles, they have the WWE women's title, she was trying to keep everybody happy, but, like, she's stuck in the middle, pretty much. And then they didn't call them Damage Control, they just said the Kabuki Warriors and Asuka. So I don't think the Damage Control name is going to live on very much longer. And they all came out to EO's music as well, which lends itself to that idea. And Dakota Kai bails from the ring, looks like she's leaving Bayley to the walls until she comes back in the ring, looks like she's going to hit Bayley with the chair, and then chases all the other girls away. Now, everybody's saying that Dakota Kai is luring Bayley in, and it's going to be a situation like the NXT elimination, or not, the NXT War Games match when she turned on Tegan Nox. I'm not saying that that's not true. I am saying that, I don't know what to say this. Her and Bayley and a third person, I would probably suggest Tegan Nox, because she's not doing anything else, versus Io, Asuka, and Kairi at some point would be a lot of fun. Now, a lot of people are saying, oh, here's WWE being racist again. Look at these, you know, these superhero white folks going after the girls from Japan. And to that I say, just look into the backgrounds of Bayley and Dakota Kai and just sit in a silent moment with yourself and acknowledge that you're wrong, and that's all. That's it. I'm not going to bash you. Just take a moment, actually look something up, actually know what you're talking about, and I don't know what else to tell you. What I do know to tell you is we saw a great fucking tag team match on SmackDown, and it was the number one contendership to face the Judgment Day at Elimination Chamber in Perth, Australia, and it was Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne versus DIY, and if that's not NXT black and gold as fuck, I don't know what is. DIY are in a similar position to Sami Zayn right now, where they're like scraping for a win, scraping for a chance, scraping for a legitimate title opportunity, etc. They lost to Judgment Day pretty recently, so going into this, I thought, like, the team that just got back together, Bate and Dunne, was going to win, or there was going to be some kind of schmoz, Judgment Day would get involved, and the general manager would say, oh, you fucked up now it's a triple threat match. Now, a triple threat match, Bate and Dunne versus DIY versus Priest and Balor, would be fantastic, and would still be black and gold as fuck. But, no, they gave the clean win to Bate and Dunne. Gargano got busted open in the match. Somehow, I went back and rewatched it. I can't tell where he got busted open, if I'm honest with you. There was a pretty cool show of respect between DIY and Bate and Dunne. Now, we've done DIY. We're doing Bate and Dunne in Australia. I'm pretty sure, I don't know how we get there, to be perfectly honest with you, but I'm pretty sure we're saving the Creeds for a match against the Judgment Day at WrestleMania. If Judgment Day are still together at WrestleMania, because there's a small part of me that thinks if they break up Judgment Day before WrestleMania, that Damian Priest versus Finn Balor is a match that they want to do. Maybe for the briefcase. Maybe they could do something cool and creative, like Damian Priest puts his briefcase on the line against Finn Balor. Finn Balor wins the briefcase on night one and cashes in on somebody on night two. They could do something like that. I'm happy for Judgment Day and all the success that they're having right now. But at some point, I'm a big fan of Balor, as you guys know. I need something in a singles capacity for Finn Balor. I don't necessarily want him to split from the group, but I do need him to have some type of singles achievement. Because he's about the third or fourth character in his own faction. I don't know how it works. And in our main event, Randy Orton took on Sami Zayn to qualify for the Elimination Chamber, and Sami Zayn, still very downtrodden, still very, oh my god, I can't pick up a win, I can't get a win to save my life, both literally and metaphorically. Orton got the win. The match was great. I don't know what else to tell you. Randy Orton versus Sami Zayn, they're going to give you a great match. Sami Zayn sells struggle and heartbreak in his face more than 99% of the wrestlers wrestling today, so I'll give him all the credit in the world for that. He even said in an exclusive on WWE.com, like, I gotta figure out where I'm going. Like, there's absolutely no shame in losing to somebody like Randy Orton, but I gotta figure out what I'm doing next. Now, next week, we've got qualifiers. We've got Zoe versus Liv for qualifier for the Chamber on Raw. We've got Big Bronson Reed versus Bobby Lashley. Gee, I wonder who's going to win that. LA Knight versus Ivar. Gee, I wonder who's going to win that. Although Ivar in the Elimination Chamber and Big Bronson Reed in the Elimination Chamber would be fun. We're probably not getting it. Logan Paul was really upset on SmackDown because he thought he was going to find out who the next contender for his United States Championship is. But instead, he found out he's in a qualifying match for the Chamber against The Miz, which is cool in some ways, because even though the Chamber would get you a world title shot, he didn't find out who his next contender for his title was. So he's still putting importance on his title, even in the face of another title, which I think is kind of cool. The mid-card titles need that. I don't think Logan Paul or The Miz are winning the Elimination Chamber by far. And I do think LA Knight is facing Logan Paul for the United States Championship at WrestleMania. So we'll see where we go from there. And one of the other qualifying matches we're getting next week on SmackDown is Kevin Owens versus Dominic Mysterio, which is just going to be fun. Kevin Owens was interviewed about it in the back, and he had a little bit of a face-to-face with Dom. Said he was going to dedicate his win to Dom's dad, because that's what people do. And then he ran into Truth, who said, make sure Adam Pearce doesn't catch you here, you're supposed to be on Raw, because he thought Kevin Owens was The Miz. R-Truth is a national treasure. That's all I gotta say about that. So, what do we have right now? We're in the part of the year where WWE kind of has to build a couple of pay-per-views at once. Now, Stand and Deliver sort of exists on an island. Stand and Deliver, we know we're getting Carmelo Hayes versus Trick Williams. That's enough to get everybody's attention. Build the card under that, because I'm sorry, I don't care what your title match is, that's going to be the main event, because that's the biggest thing happening in NXT right now. Same as I said before Cody got injured, if they did Cody versus CM Punk, book that above the title match, because that could be that's the biggest match you could possibly build. So, Stand and Deliver is kind of a one-match card right now, but Elimination Chamber, for better or for worse, has Rhea Ripley versus Nia Jax, has Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate taking on the Judgment Day, has the Women's Chamber, which has Becky and Bianca in it so far, and has the Men's Chamber, which has Drew and Orton in it so far. Oh, Drew McIntyre and Randy Orton had a nice stare down as SmackDown went off the air as well. Wasn't a sneak attack, but it was just a stare down. And I'm sorry. There are much better wrestlers on the roster, but when you talk about bigger-than-life personalities coming together, a stare down between Randy Orton and Drew McIntyre ain't the worst thing in the world. Now, WrestleMania so far, we got Roman versus Cody, and potentially that other tag match we don't know about yet. We got Bayley versus Io. We got Rhea versus the winner of the Women's Chamber. We got Seth versus the winner of the Men's Chamber. Now, here's where you click off if you don't want a spoiler. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Apparently, the members of the Women's Chamber have been leaked on a picture that was made, but like fuzzed out as a teaser thing, but it wasn't fuzzed out well enough. And I'm telling you one last time, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Your competitors are as follows: Becky, Bianca, Jade Cargill, Liv Morgan, Naomi, and Tiffany. Becky is going to win. Bianca and Jade are going to branch off into a feud with each other. Liv Morgan, we're just happy to see back. Tiffany Stratton, we're happy to see up on the main roster. She's going to do something crazy. She introduced herself by swantoning into the Royal Rumble. And Naomi is back. Yay. I don't know. Apparently one of the qualifying matches, and I don't know, we don't necessarily know what all the qualifying matches are for the Women's Chamber, but apparently Shotzi's in one of the qualifying matches, which means she's going to take another L like Mia Yim. Mia Yim and Shotzi need to get together, form a tag team, get pissed off, and take out everybody. Now, as I say, Tiffany Stratton just got called up to the main roster. If she's not doing anything at WrestleMania per se, maybe she's in a multi-person or a battle royal or a showcase match, whatever. Same thing for Naomi. Same thing for Liv, honestly. Like, I'm a fan of Liv. I hope she gets something good. But, I mean, your top three people there are Becky, Bianca, and obviously Jade Cargill. People are saying we're going to get Bianca versus Jade at WrestleMania, but fine. That's a hell of a showcase match in and of itself. The other thing, and I will say this, you guys know how I feel about Bianca Belair. I don't need to repeat it. But the other thing is, instead of fighting each other, they might form a team. And visually, the image of, what's it called, Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill taking on Asuka and Kairi Sane, it would be something spectacular to see. Not gonna lie. But anyways, if you've stayed with me all the way to the end, what do you think of this potential spoiler? The last four members to join the chamber being Jade, Liv, Naomi, and Tiffany. Now, if Jade Cargill is in the Elimination Chamber. I hope she doesn't have a qualifying match, and I know that sounds bad, but we've only seen her in the ring once. And like I said with Bron Breakker, if Bron Breakker gets lured over to Raw by Pierce saying, hey, if you sign with us, I'll give you an Intercontinental Championship match at WrestleMania. What if Aldis says, here, sign with SmackDown and I'll just swat you into the chamber? Be a lot of fun, right? Interesting things. Interesting times. WWE is a tornado right now, even more than usual for the WrestleMania season. They're trying to build two shows at once. They're trying to avoid all the bullshit that's actually floating around on Twitter as well. So good luck with that. There's lots to talk about. Everybody's got an opinion. I'd love to hear yours. Anyways, I've been Spaz, your YWC reality check. Subscribe up there, talk down there, start a conversation. Keep all these conversations going. Don't be a stranger. I'll talk to each and every last one of you later, but for right now, I am tagging you.